Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from Veg Grower Podcast. Today is the 1st of October 2018. This is episode 188, titled Revisiting Julia's Kitchen Garden. Well, as the title suggests, today we are revisiting Julia's Kitchen Garden, who you may remember from a previous podcast. She's recently taken up the grow your own hobby in a back garden. Before that, of course, we have the Garden Days calendar, and before that, we have what I have done over the last week in the diary. But before all that, I've got some rather sad news, I'm afraid. Over the weekend, Paul Peacock, from An Hour in the Garden, has unfortunately passed away. Now, you will have heard me mention him and his podcasts many times over the last year, I suppose. We were planning a collaboration in the future, which unfortunately is not going to happen now. But I only really knew Paul through his podcasts, and we would email each other every now and then, chatting about podcasting and grow gardening and that sort of thing. Really, really lovely bloke to chat to. Yeah. I always found his podcast to be very informative and clear, and they're still available. So if you haven't listened, please go and listen to them now. Paul had clearly had a background in horticulture. I think he even been on Gardener's Question Time. And a newspaper editor or something like that. But he would share his knowledge in the podcasts in a very clear and concise manner. Very, very good at getting his point across. Him and his wife also ran a Kitchen Newbie website where they would share recipes. It was clearly a passion of theirs to cook and eat food that they grew themselves as well. Paul was also an established author, writing many gardening and cooking books, including The Haynes Manual to Allotments, Patio Produce, and The Sausage Book. All of his books are available on Amazon, and I have found the books that I own of his to be really, really informative and really good books. Now, my condolences and my heart goes out to Paul's family. That's obviously the important thing. But I am going to be dedicating this week's podcast to Paul, and I'm sure Paul would have loved the fact that a listener such as Julia has started growing her own food in her garden. But with that, let's get on with the show, and as always, we'll start with the diary. Well, I've noticed over the last week that evenings are really drawing in fast. By the time I'm getting home from work, it's starting to get dark, and that's making work in the garden or allotment a bit challenging, shall we say. Now, there's been a little light, and I've managed to do a bit of weeding, although the weeds are starting to slow down, and I've also managed to do a bit of watering, which is something I've been a bit neglectful of lately. It's one of those things that watering tends to only be done when it's sunny and hot, or at the beginning of the year. Now it's this time of year, watering is something I think I tend to forget about. But actually, things still do need watering. So I've got to keep reminding myself to water. Now, Saturday I was at home, and I've continued to break down more of my old fence panels and get those into bins ready for burning. I really want these fence panels gone because, well, I've had enough of them. They look messy. I don't need them apart from burning them. And as it's getting colder, it's quite nice having a wood fire on the go. Now, I also managed to repair a leak in one of my water butts. And this water butt had developed a little crack in it. But I repaired this quite simply by brushing over some roofing felt adhesive. Just like I was painting, just brushing it over this little crack. And now I have found the rushing felt adhesive to be a really good way to fix a cracked or leaking water butt. It's kind of like a tar almost. And what it's really good at is stopping water from leaking out, which is what we want from a water butt, isn't it? So yeah, that I painted over and left that to dry. I'm going to leave it a little bit longer before I fill it up just to make sure, but it will hold water now. In the afternoon, I popped to my allotment, but I went via my manure supplier and I grabbed a load of manure to top up one of the beds with. Now, I did want to get this bed ready for planting out my garlic, But once I added quite a few bins full, I felt it could have done with a bit more. So I've held off on planting the garlic at that time. And I will continue to top up the bed with manure until I'm happy with it. I think it's not going to take a huge amount more. But there's no point rushing it until I'm ready. Or until the bed's ready, I should say, really. That's the important thing. So after that, I carried out a lot more weeding. It seems like a theme at the moment. So I'm clearing the beds. As they're becoming empty, I'm clearing the beds, getting rid of all the stuff that I don't need, getting that compost material into the compost bin. A lot of nasturtiums, a lot of beans and things like that. Now, at this point, it's probably right I should add that I was actually on call over the weekend. And if you've listened to me for a while, you know that when I'm on call, I tend to hold back from doing any serious tasks because I don't want to get called out halfway through a job. I did, however, manage to tidy up the dead stems for my globe artichoke. And, well, the thing with globe artichokes is the stem dies back around July, August time, but it starts to grow back more or less straight away. And this has happened with my artichoke. The fresh stalks have started to grow. The old stalks have died back and they will be burned because they're actually pretty good for logs. And of course the fresh stalks will produce artichokes next year, which is what I really want. So after that, it was about 5 o'clock and starting to get not dark, but the sun was starting to set. And as soon as that sun gets low in the sky, it's getting cold, isn't it? So I headed home. Sunday, now I did want to go to my allotment, but we are booked in to go round to Julia's and get her new hobby underway. Now I'm going to go into this in the main section, but the idea was to go there and get some of her bed planted up with some plants. Richard from the Bald Explorer was filming it as part of his video as well. I'll talk about that later on in that section. Well, really, this brings the diary up to date. There's very little I've done this week, to be honest, and it's one of those annoying weeks, but I'll make up for it over this next week. Yes, so this next week, well, what's it got in store? Let's see what the Garden Days Canada suggests to do. Now it reads, feed acid-loving shrubs such as the rhododendrons, camellias and azaleas if they are showing signs of yellowing leaves and not looking healthy and lush. Clear any weeds around them and fork a layer of leaf mould and well-rotted manure or ericaceous compost into the top few inches of soil. Well, for me in the edible gardening, I am immediately thinking of my acid plants that I grow, and they are blueberries and cranberries. So after reading that, I'll be checking on these and taking action as suggested in the Garden Days calendar. So that brings that bit up to date. Now let's have a look. Let's go on to the Julia's Kitchen Garden section. So yes, it's time to revisit Julia's kitchen garden and see what progress she's made there. Now, Sunday I went over to Julia's garden and I was armed with a few plants that I had grown from seed for her. I also took some garlic to plant. But I interviewed Julia before we started and I just wanted to find out what she has done so far. So let's have a listen to that and see what she has to say. Well, Julia, back on your garden.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Well, last time we were here, a few weeks ago now, I think we were in the process of filling it up with manure, and that's obviously been done now.
Yeah, we've done and it's settled and, been kept clear.
Kept clear, yeah. I saw you had a tarpaulin over it. Was that to keep the weeds away?
That was to keep the cats off it.
Cats off it, right.
Yeah, I just really don't want them going on it because that would be a high concentration.
Sure, sure. Well, I've also noticed you've got this rather impressive fruit cage, as I'd like to call it, a cage all over it.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's for the benefit of the cats, or rather the benefit of me, anti-cats.
Anti-cats. So you don't, basically don't want the cats getting in there?
No.
Why is that?
I just don't want them using it as a toilet.
Right, fine.
So, plus, we've used this big gauge on the chicken wire, so that I'm hoping some of the smaller birds can get in and just stuff, you know, have a peck at the insects.
Yeah.
And not get attacked by the cats.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah,
hoping
sure.
They'll recognise it's a little safe spot in the garden as well anyway.
Yeah, well, that is the ideal size, because it will let thrushes through, which will obviously eat the bugs and stuff,
yeah,
caterpillars and things, which is... Because you're going for the organic route, my understanding, see?
Yeah.
You don't want the chemicals at
all. Yeah, no. I mean, all of my previous naiveties are falling away, like the leaves on the trees at the moment, or from the trees. But yeah, no, I am aiming for that.
Excellent. Well, we're going to be planting some things up today.
Excellent.
So I'm going to tell you what we're going to be planting. Probably the most difficult one we're going to be doing is the garlic.
Aha.
Now, I've brought a whole clove. That's one that I've grown in previous years. And each year I save the biggest clove, or the biggest bulb, and plant those cloves. And that's not the biggest one, because I've saved that for myself. That's...
Oh, yeah, well, rightly so. Rightly so, sir.
That's the third biggest. And what we're going to do is split the cloves, dib a hole, and drop the cloves in, mm-hmm. and then water it. It's as simple as that. They will probably be in the ground until about... July time, so it's going to be quite a while.
Yep.
But you don't need to do much looking after them, just watering.
Excellent. It's a good first starter, really.
It is. It's pretty easy. It is a long-term one. With something as small a bed as this, it's not the best way, but it's easy.
Well, I didn't enter into this for the short term, did I?
No, of course.
It's all good.
Of course. And then we have some chard, which is this stuff here. Which doesn't look its best, admittedly, but once it's in and it grows, it will perk up. That's a type of spinach.
Ooh.
So you'll be picking those leaves out within a few weeks.
Excellent.
As it grows. Now we've got some cabbages and cauliflowers. We're probably only going to get four of those in there each. I take it you eat cauliflower? Or?
My family does, yes.
Family does, so yeah. Once that hearts. Again, that's probably a long-term item. That's probably going to be... March time, those come ready.
Cool.
And then after that, we've got some kale, and I've got two varieties. The red type, because I know you like the purpley colour. And as you can see, that's quite a...
That is a very lovely purple there.
Yeah.
Any shade, as long as it's purple.
Yeah. I actually say it's more of a purpley colour than red. But it is called
definitely.
Red Russian.
It's very violet.
Yeah.
It's the ready purple.
Sure. And then after that, we've got some black Russian kale. Why it's called black, I don't know, because it's green.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. But yeah, and they're just going to be plonked in the ground, really, pretty easily. But what we're going to do, one of the most important tips I ever have is to label as you go. Because you will not remember what goes where. Unless you do something like we're going to be doing later, recording a video that might... Remind
yeah,
you, but then
jog your memory later, but you've got to find the video to then watch
the
it.
Go back through it. Yeah. So all I've got is these white plastic labels, sticks.
Stick label things. Cool.
Yeah, and we'll just use a pencil. I've got a pencil I'll grab in a second and just write on there.
Got some Sharpies.
Well, the trouble I find with Sharpies is once the sun shines on it, after
oh,
a while,
fades.
It fades, and then you can't actually see what's on there.
Righto.
Whereas a pencil, I have found to be the most reliable way, because it doesn't fade, it stays on there. And then come next year when you're finished, you pull these out of the ground, get one of those magic erasers.
And then you can reuse it.
Reuse it.
Clever.
Which is, with plastic at the moment, it's pretty
absolutely,
important to recycle.
Yeah.
I can see Richard's looking like he wants to add something.
No, I'm just standing on the wayside here.
Just looking cozy with my fluffy cat.
With your fluffy cat, just taking it all in. I'm impressed with your garlic. So each individual clove, you would plant, not the whole bulb.
No, each individual clove, and each clove would then become a bulb next year.
Oh, right.
Now, the thing with garlic, though, is it needs a period of coldness to split it into cloves. If you don't get that period of cold, it stays as one huge clove, which would end up the size of a bulb.
Oh, I see.
But that's completely unusable. Well, it's not unusable. You can use it still, but who wants that much garlic? And if you're doing a big something or another.
Right. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Because I was watching a video about chestnuts, horse chestnuts, and they need a winter.
Yeah.
They need this period of cold before then they start to germinate.
Stratification, it's called.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is that?
It's basically a seed such as the chestnut recognises the winter. It's gone through that period of cold. It's recognising, it's in its DNA that once it warms up, spring, if I start to grow now, I can survive this. But if it starts to grow before it gets the cold...
It's very clever. It's almost like it's got its own subconscious mind.
It's like it kickstarts a chemical process or something.
Yeah, it is amazing how these things happen. Yeah, yeah. There's another form called scarification, which is where you basically would pop the seed into possibly an acidic or soak it in water, and that's just to break down the hard outer shell. Well, that's mimicking a seed going through a digestive system of an animal.
Oh, see.
So in many ways, it's encouraging the animal to eat its fruit.
Because that's how it's being passed and then buried in a suitable place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so it's the same sort of thing with the garlic.
Well, the garlic will start to grow before the winter. It'll put up shoots within the next month.
Oh, right, okay.
But it won't actually split into several cloves until it gets that period of cold. I can't remember the exact details, but because we're doing it outside, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll all happen naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this winter period coming, you've mentioned things need plenty of water. The weather, presumably, takes away a lot of the work for you.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, weeds won't grow as much.
That's good.
It's going to rain, it's going to be wet, so watering doesn't need so much. There are elements where you may need to protect it if it gets too cold. Just run out with some horticulture fleece or something just to keep it warm. But where we are, we're in, what is it, Lancing Shoreham? How far away from the sea?
About 300 metres.
300 metres from the sea. The sea has this natural warming effect, so it's not going to freeze that much here.
You mentioned weeds just now, and you're planting the garlic. How do you know whether it's a garlic that's poked up above the surface or weed?
That's a good question.
You don't want to be pulling out the wrong stuff at that time.
I recognise it.
Yes.
But to a novice. To a novice, that's a very, very good question.
Well, take a photo and you post it on some site on the internet is one option.
That's one option. Or the other option is perhaps we get some sticks and everywhere we've put a clove,
stick a stick in it,
and if it grows, because it's basically a long stem that will pot up.
Right, yeah.
So if it looks like it's put in flowers, or leaves, sorry, it's not going to be garlic.
You wouldn't grow that in a pot first then?
Some people do.
And then transplant it, because then obviously whatever comes out of the pot is presumably the garlic.
In theory, but you can get weeds and compost as well. Yeah. So
it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But this is all part of a learning process, which is what we're doing.
I think that's pretty much why I've always had quite wild gardens, because I'm like, but I don't know if it's a weed, but even if it is, it's so pretty.
That's actually very interesting. I do find some weeds that pop up can be pretty. I mean, I've got some nasturtiums that have popped up on my allotment. I didn't plant them. They've just grown everywhere, but they are these flowered, different colours, long trailing thing, and they're edible.
I was going to say they're brilliant tortoise food, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
What's the definition, then, of a weed?
A plant that's growing where it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So it could be anything.
Could be anything. Yeah. A carrot.
Any unwanted plant.
A carrot growing in this year's potato patch would be a weed.
So after that little interview, we went out and we planted the plants that I mentioned. That was the garlic, chard, cabbage, cauliflower and kale. Now, as it is Julia's kitchen garden, a series of videos that are going on the Bald Explorer, Richard was the Bald Explorer. He was video analyst doing this, and I was basically showing Julia how to plant the garlic and how to plant the plants. Usually, if I was planting that on my own, I would probably be able to do it in half hour at the most. Because we were filming, it took 4 hours. Hell of a lot longer than it would take on my own. But this was a very interesting experience for me. Richard is a professional videographer, and I've said this many times, and he's very, very well trained. Now, working with us, we're not professionals. I'm certainly not a professional actor. But something as simple as lifting the garlic up to show the camera, and that had to be repeated several times to get a shot right. And when you're trying to repeat a simple action as that, it's very difficult to make it become natural. So for me, that was a really interesting experience. I'm lucky that I do have Richard as a friend to fall back on when I'm making my YouTube videos. But whenever I do anything, I'm always looking at the other side of the camera to see what I can learn. So I took quite a few tips from that, actually. Anyway, let's get away from the point. But yeah, Julia and I, we planted these plants up. And Julia really showed how excited and enthusiasm really shone through. It was really pleasing to see. So, right at the end, while she was still buzzing, I grabbed a second chat. So I'll play that now. Well, Julia, planted up your garden.
We did.
How's it for you?
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Wonderful.
Yeah. It seemed to really get enthusiastic into it, but also while you were gardening, I was noticing this, you kind of centered yourself, you felt a bit calmer.
Yes,
probably one way, but
well, you know, you read about all these things, you know, about getting your hands in the earth and connecting with you know, your place in on the planet and within the earth, what have you. And then you're actually doing it, and yeah, exactly that happened, you know, feeling my connection, and it's all namby-pamby, but I love it. Fantastic.
That's the main thing. That's the main important thing. And obviously, you're going to have plenty of food coming through now.
Yes. That'll be just invaluable. Yeah. Brilliant. And it's wonderful for my son to watch it grow and then to be eating it afterwards.
Yeah, and see where his food comes from.
That's going to be the most satisfying part for me.
Completely.
As well, you know, on top of everything else, of course.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for having me today, Julia.
I cannot thank you enough. I really can't, for the inspiration, for the assistance, for the advice, and the friendship.
Of course, that's the important thing.
Yes. Indeed.
Thank you.
Well, that just about brings the update from Julia's kitchen garden up to date. So we've got plenty of plants planted in now. Richard's video will actually be out on Friday, and you can watch out either on Facebook or YouTube. Facebook's The Bald Explorer, YouTube's Richard Phobes. But yeah, they'll be on there. I'll obviously share it on the Veg Grower podcast as well. I'm sure Richard will. But I'm really pleased to be joining Julia on her journey of growing her own food. It's really, really nice to see that some other people are doing this sort of thing. So I'm really, really pleased for her, and I'm so incredibly proud of her. For me, the real thing that I took away from Sunday was how Julia herself just seemed to enjoy it. She seemed to embrace it, and that's what we really wanted. Now, there was another thing that I took away from it, and this is a common thing that new gardeners make, including myself when I was a new gardener. And that is, you get a brand new garden and you have to rush in and plant it. We've all done it, haven't we? Oh, Julia didn't do that. She's built her bed. She's analysed that cats could be a problem. So she's gone, right, let's build this cage, stop the cats from being a problem. And then she said, okay, we're ready to plant. Okay, I may have not given her the plants until I was ready as well. But the point is that she's really analysed this kind of problem. Again, normally, as a new gardener, We all do it. We throw plants in and weeds become a problem. We can't get on top of it and we wonder why. Or something like cats come along. And if we had thought about it before we had done it, it wouldn't be a problem. Anyway, enough of that. Well done, Julia. I'm really, really pleased to be on this journey with you. Okay, I was going to play in one more bumper, but I'm not going to now. I'm going to close up. I've just added the bumpers to try and break things up, so I'm going to see how that works out. But yeah, I'm going to wrap up for this week. So big thanks to Julia and Richard for being on this podcast. My condolences again to Paul's family. I'm sure Paul would have liked to hear people like Julia starting to grow their own food. So I'm very pleased that this has been a dedication to him. And thank you, listener, for listening. Now, if you want to get in touch, then please email me, richard@veggrowpodcast.co.uk. Alternatively, visit my website, theveggrowpodcast.co.uk, leave a comment and all that sort of thing. I just remembered the Facebook group competition goes to Ian, so I'll be sending those up to you soon. On this week's video as well, from the Veg Grower podcast, will be late because I haven't filmed it yet. So I'm going to do that tomorrow and get it up there. I don't know what it's really going to be. Probably a walk around. Anyway, please take care and I'll speak to you again next time.